Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
I'm good. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Let's just give the dads a little love. Happy Father's Day. If you just as a reminder for some of you who haven't been thinking about it, if you've got a great dad and they're still around, be sure to text them or call them. If you had a great dad, they're not around, be sure to thank them. Live in their legacy. Some of us, let's be honest, haven't always had great fathers. And so in that case, pray for them. But aren't we glad we got a heavenly Father? Amen. Fills in the gaps. Grateful for you guys today. My name's Pastor Joel. I'm going to be bringing the message today. And we're carrying on in a series in Luke. And last week, we had Pastor Darren, who knocked it out of the park, and they're in Washington, D.C. today, but killed it, knocked it out of the park. Speaking of knocking it out of the park, I just want to give a shout-out to Wally and Schmiggy and Ryan and the men's monthly for setting up the Rangers game. I got to go, and it was so crazy walking up to the Rangers game and seeing my church family in the stands. That was awesome. So I just want to say thank you to guys. It was a Father's Day event that they put on, and so it was just really good. So this morning, we're going to be reading in Luke, Luke 12:22. I'm going to read it for us, and then we're going to get started this morning, okay? Luke 12:22. It goes like this. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, about the body, or what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They don't have a storeroom or a barn, yet God feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than the birds? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? If then you're not able to do even a little thing, why worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor has adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass, which is in the field today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, how much more will he do for you, you of little faith? Don't strive for what you should eat and what you should drink, and don't be anxious. For the Gentile world eagerly seeks all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be provided for you. Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Make money bags for yourselves that won't grow old, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Amen. Amen. Today's message, I think, is one that is going to be relevant to all of us, all right, in some way. I realized this week when I was talking to a couple of people and I was mentioning what I was going to be speaking about, and I said, "I'm speaking about worry." They were like, "Whew," big sigh, kind of rolled the eyes like, "Man, I got to hear that message." So I knew we were on track because I felt like, you know, this is something that a lot of us probably deal with, everyone deals with. And it's funny because it's ironic because this past week my family was in Galveston. I was here and I spent the whole time worrying about them. It's ironic also because I've been writing this sermon about worry for the past couple of weeks, and all I've been doing is worrying about the sermon. So just because I'm up here doesn't mean I don't worry, okay? This is something that we all deal with. And it's funny because maybe this resonates with you, but a lot of times if you're a person who worries a lot, we love to validate our worry, right? We're like, "I'm worried about this." And if you're not worried about it like I am, you don't care. Yeah, yeah. Okay, good, good. We're all connecting here. You don't care. That's not necessarily true, right? There's a difference kind of between concern and worry. And today I want to talk a little bit about worry. What's great about this passage is that Jesus himself speaks about worry. And then he says why we shouldn't worry, and he actually shows us how not to worry, which is huge, all right? The first thing you need to know about worry is that, to me, worry is one of the biggest mental health crisis. It's a mental health crisis. We talk about anxiety a lot, right, in our culture. We don't talk a lot about worry, and worry actually is common to every human being, every person, Right, anxiety, the difference between worry and anxiety, let's say worry is more like, I'm worried I'm going to miss my flight. Anxiety is something like I'm anxious to fly, right? Worry happens a lot in here. Anxiety happens in our body. We have like anxiety attacks, things like that, right? Worry is a little different. It just happens in here. It spins. All you do is stress and worry, right? It's a little different. And worry also is common to all of us because it's a part of our nature. We were born with a bent towards fear and worry. And that's why everybody worries, right? Not necessarily hope and fearlessness. We don't come out and we're full of hope and fearless. That's not necessarily our nature. But when we come to meet Jesus, he takes us, molds us, shapes our nature, gives us a new nature. And guess what? Now we can have hope and we can be fearless. It doesn't mean that we're always that way, but Jesus shows us these things. So I want to put a slide up here real quick to talk a little bit about the difference between concern and worry. Worry looks a little like this: fear, irrational, paralysis. Concern is more about focus, rational, and action. I want to talk about concern first because concern starts in our minds, focuses on a challenge, and it's more rational and leads to action. Right? Leads to action. That's concern, right? When you're concerned about something, it leads to action. Let me think of an illustration here. My wife, I know she's coming back from Target because that's like her second home. She lives there. So she's coming home from Target. She told me that she's going to be stopping by Chick-fil-A to pick us up some food. I'm at the house with the kids and I'm sitting there worrying. Is she going to remember to get me my nuggets? Is she going to remember to get us food? Because if she doesn't, guess what? We're all going to be here and we're going to be hungry. And you know what happens when the kids get hungry and I get hungry and then and things just start spinning out of control, right? That's more about worry. Concern is this. I wonder if my wife Katie's going to pick up Chick-fil-A on the way home. Hey, honey, are you picking up Chick-fil-A? Already got it on the way home. Ah, peace. You see the difference between concern and worry, right? Concern leads to action. Worry, it causes us to freeze and we get eat up inside with worry, right? Concern can look like maybe you're struggling in your marriage. There's something going on with you and your spouse. Concern looks like, hey, maybe we should go get marriage counseling. Maybe we should take some action and do something that's going to help us. Concern can look like, maybe I've gained a few pounds. I need to cut off the sodas, right? Taking action. Concern looks more like that. Worry is something that's different than concern. Worry is experienced in our minds. It results in fear. It's often irrational. I just wish that's an important word, irrational, and causes us to freeze. Tony Evans said this, worry is concern gone haywire. Amen. Another pastor said, worry is stewing without doing. Ooh, some of y'all are just furiously taking notes. That was so good. I'm going to get that tattoo. It focuses what's on beyond our control, and it paralyzes us. We can't move. Worry just causes us to freeze. How many of you guys have ever woken up at 2 a.m. just stressed about something? Anybody? All three of you? That's crazy. That's crazy. Man, yeah. This is what worry looks like. 2 a.m., you wake up, your kid went off to college, right? Yeah, and you're wondering, is my kid okay? Do they need me? Is my son hungry? Do I need to send him money? And then worry starts ramping up, right? Worry starts getting a little crazy, like, what if he's in a car accident? What if he got kidnapped by the cartel? And then it just keeps ramping up. What if he got an Uber driver and the Uber driver was a drug dealer and he's sitting in prison right now and I got to go bail him out of jail? And honey, we need a lawyer. And lawyers are expensive and we haven't been making a lot of money lately, and it just keeps going and going. Some of y'all are like, that's every day for me. That's every day for me. Oftentimes, worry is irrational. It's irrational. But it happens, right? I mean, when we start to worry, it's like a cycle, and we are just plagued by these irrational thoughts. And they don't always lead to action. And it's so funny. It's not funny, but it is funny in the sense that we always create these, like, terrifying narratives in our mind, and we think that's really, really what's happening. But has anything gotten better when you worry? No. Nothing gets better, and your mental health gets worse And what's interesting about this passage is, though we worry, Jesus says, don't worry. I know, some of you guys are like, Jesus is just, he's mellow, he's chill, he's not radical at all. The Joker just said, don't worry, and we all worry. That's crazy, all right? Let's look at verse 22. It says, then he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, and what you will wear. And what's, I thought about this. If Jesus like had written a post online and it said the top five things you worry about, you were going to click on it. You're going to click on it. Don't tell me that Jesus is not relevant to today's culture. He just spelled out the top five things we all worry about. Did you see that? So the first thing that he says, and you kind of got to backtrack just a little, but it says, then he said to his disciples, therefore. Whenever you see the word therefore, you always have to ask yourself this question, what's it there for, right? You got to look before the word therefore to find out the context of what he's talking about. And if you remember the message last week, it was all about possessions and money. It was about money. In the synoptic gospels, Matthew and Mark, Luke, Matthew, it actually says you can't serve God and money right here in this passage. So one, he's saying don't worry about your money and possessions, right? Don't overly obsess about money. The next thing he says is about your life, your future. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Where are you going to go to school? Is a loved one going to get sick? Let's not obsess about what's temporary, and let's focus on what's eternal. Amen? And then he says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, your food. Now, this crowd in particular, this is not a judgment call. They were probably poor crowd. We live in the richest country in the world. This was where Jesus was speaking to these people. It was probably a poor community, agriculture community. And everything, their jobs, their life, probably revolved around creating food, food generation. All right, so this was pretty radical for them when he says, hey, don't worry about food. Yo, my whole life is about getting food and making food. And so this would have been very relevant for them. It's still relevant to us today. But when we worry about food, it's on a whole different level when we think about food today. We're like, some of y'all are like worrying about where y'all going to eat for Father's Day after service today. You worried about, did I eat too much? Or what did I eat? Or did I eat the wrong kind of food, right? We worry about food in different ways, which still can be very unhealthy. I'm not saying don't be concerned, all right? Worry and concern is different, but worry is something that it just eats you up inside. So don't worry about your food. The next thing he says is don't worry about the body, health, fitness. Don't worry and obsess about your health. Take care of yourself, but remember that the body is temporary, that the most important thing is your soul. Amen? So Jesus is saying, don't worry about the body. Then he says what you'll wear, your fashion, what people think about you, all right? Some of you are like, ooh, because you spent a long time preparing for service today with your outfit. It's okay. There's no judgment, you know? We want you looking good. We want you looking fresh. Don't get me wrong, all right? But if you're overly obsessed about your image or how people will think about you, and it's something you think about often, Jesus is saying, just don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Right? There's that scripture that we've read over and over and over where it says, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart, right? So just remember when you're getting ready and you're worried about what people may, how people may see you, or and you're thinking about that often, maybe on socials or whatever, just remember, God cares more about your heart than how fresh you look, okay? Write that down, somebody. That pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? I mean, look, he says, don't worry about finances, your future, the future of your loved ones, what you're going to eat, about the body, what you will wear. I mean, if I sat down right now and said, hey, what you worried about? I bet you it falls into one of those five categories. Isn't that crazy? Jesus said this a while back, and it's still relevant today. He's saying, don't worry. Everybody say, don't worry. All right, now look at this next thing. I thought this was interesting. Why shouldn't we worry? He actually talks about this. One of the things I love about this passage in particular I had watched an interview with a professor at Fuller University, and he's this guy that I really like to listen to. And he said he didn't understand this passage fully until he actually went to Jerusalem where Jesus would have said this passage. Look at the first verse. It says, consider the ravens. And this is me just loving Jesus here for a moment, because he's actually in this place in Jerusalem. He didn't know this until he got there, but it's one of the biggest bird migratory paths in the Middle East. So Jesus is addressing this crowd, and he's using an amazing illustration that is relevant not just to them, but also to us. He goes, consider the birds. I just imagine Jesus standing there as birds are flying overhead. Consider the ravens. And the reason it's relevant to you is you can't go anywhere without a bird being around, right? It's just a perfect illustration, right? He says, consider the ravens. Now it's stuck in your head. You could say, hey, there's no birds in the city. Yo, there's pigeons everywhere downtown. Listen, there's birds everywhere. And I just love that he said, hey, consider the birds. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They don't have a storeroom or a barn, yet God feeds them. Remember, they're storing up food. This is their agriculture society. This is what they're all about. He's like, they don't have barns. They don't have all this. They don't put their little straw hats on and their overalls, and the birds aren't out there sowing and reaping, right? And yet, God takes care of the birds. Birds, and then it says, can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? If then you're not able to do even a little thing, why worry about the rest? Birds ain't got no worries, man. I wish I was a bird. Birds ain't got no worries. They ain't sitting on the branch up there with their buddy going, I don't know if there's any more earthworms in that ground. Jokers could be extinct. We don't know. What if in this affluent suburban community there's just no more bird seed for us in any of these bird feeders? We're in trouble. Birds aren't worried about anything. If anything, they're concerned about that large predatory bird that's hunting them down. And so you know what they're going to do? They're going to figure out how to get that food real sneakily, right? They don't have any worries. And God takes care of them. He protects them. He loves the birds. He feeds the birds. And if he can feed these birds that don't work and do all the things that you do and have all the things that you worry about, isn't he going to care more about you because you are more value to him? Amen? He cares more about you than even the birds. Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? This is interesting, right? Because he says, it's just a little thing. He's making a reference about your power and your ability as a human. Your power and ability, you don't have the ability to add just a moment to your life. You don't have that kind of power. God's the only one that holds that power. It's just a little thing. But because you don't have that power, it's not in you, right? Why should you worry? Why should you worry? Because it's not going to add a moment or a day to your life. I'm going to say something here. I'm going to follow it up, but I'm going to say something that I want us all to hear. What you worry about the most reveals where you trust God the least. What you worry about the most reveals where you trust God the least. And I told you this past week I was worried about my family when they were on vacation and things like that. So, boom, there you go. I'm being open and honest. Joel, where do you need to trust God more? If I was to ask you right now, what is it that you're worrying about the most? Just take a moment and think about that for a minute. Maybe that's an area that God's going, hey, I want you to trust me. I want you to lay your cares on me. I want to take that worry away from you. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about a relationship. I'm worried about my marriage. I'm worried about our government. I'm worried about my health. My country. I'm worried about losing my job. I'm worried about finances. Maybe this is one of those areas where God's going, hey, trust me. Don't worry. Lay those cares in my hands. And there's something that we learn when there's a significant place where you're not trusting God. We learn in this passage how we're supposed to not worry. It's amazing because Jesus doesn't leave us hanging. He doesn't go, hey, I don't want you to worry about all this stuff, right? And here's why, because the birds don't worry. But no, he actually tells us how not to worry. And look at it, it's in verse 31. To me, this is the most profound thing that you need to hear from the message today. All right, write it down. because this is going to be something that you need to carry with you for the rest of your life. Every day when you wake up and you worry, you need to remember this. How are we supposed to not worry? Verse 31, but seek his kingdom. Seek his kingdom, and these things will be provided for you. In Matthew, it actually says, seek first the kingdom of God. So when you worry, what do you default to? What do you default to first when you worry? Because I'm going to be honest. Let's just be real. It ain't always God. We're not always seeking the kingdom first, right? Sometimes we default to validation. We want to be validated in our worry and fear. Sometimes we default to substances. We get stressed out. That's the first thing we go to. Sometimes we seek somebody out who's going to worry with us and magnify our worry, right? We don't always seek God first, right? But one of the beautiful things he says is seek the kingdom of God first. And one of the best ways you can do that is to pray. Pray. If you're somewhere right now and you got a worry just running through your mind, and I know that's real, and I know that happens in here, because there's been times that I've sat in here and there was a message going and I just got this worry just plaguing me, stressing. The first thing you ought to do is to pray. One of the best ways to seek his kingdom when you're plagued with a worry is to pray. When we pray, no matter the outcome, it strengthens our belief and faith that everything is going to be okay. What's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? What's the first thing you do? Do you entertain that worry? First thing you get up, you're like, all right, got to get, oh no. And then it just... I want to challenge us. Let's pray when we wake up. First thing you do when you wake up, let's pray. Let's have a communication with God. And I just want you to see what happens. Just see what happens. Another way that you can overcome worry by seeking the kingdom first is Christian community. I can't tell you how many times I've been stressed about something, worried about something, and I got into a community group, and I had someone to talk to, and they were like, look, I've walked that path before. You're going to be all right. You're going to be okay. Everything's going to work out. God's got you, right? Sometimes you just need to hear that from somebody. I met with a couple people this week that just needed to hear it. Like, look, you're good. God's got you. You don't need to worry about that. And the best way to do that is in Christian community. It's in community groups, which is shameless plug. Today, we're launching community groups. All right? Yeah. That wasn't planned at all. Today, we're launching community groups. And we're going to have some sign-ups in the lobby where you can actually go and sign up. So what's the best thing for you to do if you're worried about something? It's to go out there after service and sign up for a community group. Because you got to be around some people. Worry oftentimes when you're stressed. Worry and the enemy, what he wants to do is get you alone. He just wants you to get you alone. And when you're alone, it's a mess. It is a mess. You start worrying. Devil's beating you up inside your brain. You just keep worrying more. Those internal narratives just get worse and worse and worse. You need to get out of that. You need to get with some people that can love you, that can care for you, that can speak the words of Jesus to you, that can help you understand and know the truth. And that's in community. So sign up for a community group today. Boom, there it is. Let's pray. No, I'm just kidding. What's really going to happen? When you worry, what's really going to happen? There's three things that can happen. The first one is, yo, it may never happen. Like, the thing that you're worried about right now the most, the thing you're stressed about the most, is probably not going to happen. I read an article this past week in Psychology Today where Penn State had surveyed a group of students about their worries. And the participants in this study were asked to write down a list of what they were worried about and have them review that list every night to see if their worries came true over the next 30 days. And you know what they discovered? 91% of the things that they were worried about did not come true. Did not come true. The thing that you're worried about today, the chances are it probably ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen, thank God. But how many times have you worried about something? You let the enemy beat you up and you've been stressed about something and then it just never happened. It never happens. Does that happen to anybody? Yeah? All right, cool. The second thing that may happen is that it may happen, but it's not going to be as bad as you thought. You were worried about something, and it actually happens, and you go, you know what? That wasn't so bad. Why did I spend all that time worrying? Has that ever happened to you? Yeah. You're so worried about that conversation with your boss, stressed. Bringing that stress to the house. Everybody's stressed. You leave the house. You go talk to your boss that day, right? It don't go great, but you still got your job, thank God, right? It wasn't quite as bad as you thought, because in your mind, that narrative, you were like, I'm going to be homeless, living on the street, lost my job, my family, right? Your mind just goes there, right? But it wasn't quite as bad as you thought it was going to be, right? A lot of times that happens, not as bad as you thought it was going to be, right? You said something really stupid, and you got laughed at, I hate being laughed at. You get laughed at, right? Oh, my God, and you feel terrible. But for some reason, people then become your friend, right? Because you're more human to them now. I mean, that's what I'm hoping is happening right now. right? You're so worried about it. You know, it happens. They did laugh at you, but you know what? It's not as bad as you thought it was going to be, right? And the third thing, and this is probably the last thing I'm gonna mention today. It may happen. It may actually be worse than you thought. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. God will walk with you through it. And you may experience the goodness and the presence and the peace of God that you never thought was possible. We don't have the time to walk through this room and listen to everybody's stories. But I bet you if we sat down and we talked to some people who've been through some really rough stuff in here, they would tell you, you know what, the only way I was able to make it through, and it was worse than I thought it was going to be, was because God walked with me through that difficult time. Amen? And I think there's people in here that have had that experience, who've been through that kind of thing, right? It creates a beautiful opportunity for you to put your cares in the hands of God. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Sometimes we get to know God best when we need him the most. Amen? Amen. And the last thing I want to tell you is verse 34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your heart today? Where is your treasure? Are you prioritizing worry in your life? Are you someone who worries so much and you're cycling through these narratives and the worry is just killing you and it's not motivating you to act and it's just something that is just eating at you? Did you come into church today on Father's Day? Maybe you're a father and you're worried about something. Maybe you come in here and you're stressed about something. There's something that you know God said don't worry about, but you just can't let it go. Some of us are carrying a burden or a worry that we're not meant to carry. That it's too great to bear. Today may be the opportunity you needed to take that care to God and discover that God cares for you and that he is with you and that he is always good. It may not happen. Chances are the thing you're worried about is probably not going to happen. It may happen and it's not going to be as bad as you thought, or it may happen and you will experience the love of God in a way that you've never experienced him first. Seek him first. Seek God today. I don't know what you're worried about. I don't know what you're worried about. I don't know what you brought in here, what's cooking in here. I don't know what it is. But God is saying, let me take that worry away from you. Here in a moment, we're going to have a time of prayer and the band's going to come out. And the measure and success of a church service is not how many people come to an altar, but it's about how many hearts turn to God. And we want to see, I want to see God move in your life. I want to see that worry taken away from you. And so what we're going to do this morning is they're going to come and play. And if you're old school and you want to lay your worries at this altar, you're more than welcome to come down here. We're going to open the altars and you come and you pray, all right? We got people who pray for you, pray with you. Maybe you're somebody that's a little more private. You don't want to get up and walk up in here, and totally get that. But you want to talk to somebody, you want to pray with somebody. You know, you can fill out that connection card that's under the front of your seat. One of the things that we do as pastors is we meet with folks, and people will let us know, like, hey, I need somebody to talk to. I'm worried about something. I need prayer. I want to meet with somebody. Write it down on that card and put it in a box before you leave today. But whatever it is you're worried about, God says, don't worry about it. Seek me first. Pray. Connect with people. Today we're going to pray. So I'm going to pray over you. We'll have a time of prayer and the band will come out. Let's pray. God, your son gave us some powerful words that we should not worry. And God, I know today that in this room, there's a lot of us worrying about a lot of stuff. And God, what we worry about the most is a place, are the things that we don't trust you with. And I just pray, God, that those of us who are worrying about something, that today that trust begins to happen, that we begin to lay those worries down. God, that you speak to us and you help us, you free us. Help us to turn that worry into concern and help us take action. And God, I'm just praying today, Lord, that somebody, God, will begin to trust you with the thing they're worried about the most. God, that they'll experience freedom in it. God, help us, Lord. Help us seek you first. We ask all these in Jesus' name.